holding on to your days on the days, the fifth line from the bottom. We started learning about the part of the, Mishnah that mentions that after we dealt with Tumas Mikdash for Kodshav and the various Karbanos that deal with that throughout the year, then we said, as far as all other Averis, we said that for that you have the Sur Lazazel together with Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah had said that it covers the Kalos and the Chamuros, the lighter and the heavier mitzvahs, Zdonis and Shigogos, Hoida and Hoida, and Loi Hoida, Esa and Loi Esa. So we started discussing that what it means is when a person does something kalo or chamura, something lighter or heavier, kalos meaning eses or loisas, and chamuras meaning krisis or misses basin, then whether he did them b'shoigig or b'mezid, so then the sur lazazel is mechaper for him. If he's a Yisrael Kohenim, we'll talk about later on, and that would apply even, for example, he did them, and there's a suffix whether he did them, where we talked about that ordinarily a person might have to bring an Oshem Toloi for that, but now, because Yom Kippur passed, he doesn't have to bring that Oshem Toloi. So the Gemara says, "Hi Esa Hechidomi." When we talk about, we say this person violated an Esa, what are we talking about that we're saying that the Sur Lazazel would help him? Idloi Oved Tshuva, do we mean that he didn't do Tshuva afterwards, and how does the Sur Lazazel help him? As the Pasuk says, Zevach Rishoyim Tayeva, the Korban of Rishoyim is an abomination. The whole point is that a person is supposed to, when he brings a korban, is supposed to be together with tshuva. And the same thing should apply to this korban sibur. The sur lazozel is not a korban per se, but whatever. The point is, in other words, how can it be mechapa for him if he's still a rosha and not doing tshuva? An interesting point over here is that essentially the Gemara is saying that somebody failed to do a mitzvah saseh, then it's calling him a rosha. Achronim talk about it a little bit. I mean, for example, we don't say, let's say a person fails to do a mitzvah saseh, a person, let's say, fails to put on tefillin or whatever, doesn't pass the lemla edus, for example, where the definition of rosha by edus is, and it doesn't include where he's failing to do mitzvah saseh, but only where he does mitzvah lois saseh. So the Minchas Chinuch actually talks about that there may be a difference. We do find the word Rosha in Chumash, and we find it also in Mishlei. Here, this pasuk Zevach Roshayim Teiva is a pasuk from Mishlei. So the Minchas Chinuch actually says there may be a difference in that regard. That maybe the Torah uses Rosha to describe somebody who's Chayev Malkus or Chayev Misa, not just where he's over on an Eser or a Lois Eser Sheinva or a Lav Sheinva Meisa, whereas in Mishlei. Whereas in Mishlei, it might be calling him a Rosha. So in other words, that one doesn't pass him later, but nevertheless, it would still be enough of a Rosha that the Korban or the Sur Lazazel shouldn't be covering him. So if that, then it's not going to work. Either Ovid Tshuva, and if we're talking about that he did do Tshuva, Kol Yom Nami, then he doesn't have to wait for Yom Kippur. Every day that he does Tshuva throughout the year for failing to do a mitzvah saseh, he's going to be forgiven. The Tanya, as we learn in Yuma, the Gemara talks about over there, about the various categories of people who did Averis. And the first category, it's quoted at the beginning of Yigeres HaTshuva and Tanya, so we're more familiar with it. Anyway, the Braisa says over there, over a mitzvah eseh, if a person violated a mitzvah saseh, va'osa tshuva, and then he did tshuva, loy zoz mishama tshemot l'noy, he doesn't move from there until he's forgiven. As the pasuk says, shuvu bonim shrevavim, return you rebellious children, erpa mishrevei seichem, I will forgive your rebelliousness. So we see, in other words, that, so we see that they're forgiven right away. As the Alter Rebbe points out there in the Igeres HaTshuva, you do have the fact that a person failed to do a mitzvah saseh, he's never going to be able to bring down that light, that energy from all the course that he was supposed to bring down because of it, but nevertheless, in terms of the fact that he disobeyed Hashem, that gets forgiven as soon as he does tshuva. So he doesn't need to wait for Yom Kippur and for the Sur Lazazel to be brought. So Omer Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira answers, but Oymed B'Mirgoi, we are in fact talking about where he is still rebellious. He has not done tshuva. I Zevach Roshoyim Teiva. The Rebbe he, because our Mishnah would go like Rebbe. That Yom Kippur is special in that regard, and he can be forgiven even if he's not doing tshuva. D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, because we learn in a braisa that Rebbe says, "Kol averus from a Torah, bein osa tshuva, bein lo osa tshuva. All averus in the Torah, whether a person did tshuva or not, Yom Kippur in mechaper. For all of those, Yom Kippur can be mechaper for him. Chutz mipurik oil." With the exception of if he throws off the yoke of Hashem, which means it actually says kof be'ikr, he denies Elokus completely, or Kofa Be'ikr would mean that he denies various fundamental concepts of Yiddishkeit. You have the 13 Ikrim, for example, that the Rambam formulated. Or where he's brazen against the Torah. He comes and attacks Torah with chutzpah. Rashi brings the example that we learned in Sanhedrin a while back, where Menashe, Melech Yehuda, for example, was going through Psukim and saying and mocking them, like, what is there nothing better for Moshe to write in the Torah than things like the Timna Hoysa Pilegesh or other Psukim over there that seem to just tell us what he considered useless information, and the Gemara ends up explaining them. Each of them does actually teach us something. But anyway, somebody who treats like that, who treats the Torah disrespectfully, is megal upon him. But is megal upon him a Torah? He's brazenly going against the Torah. Yeah, and in Pirkei Avos you have the expression megal upon him a Torah shaloi kahalocha. It's similar, but it's not identical. There you have the word shaloi kahalocha means something else as well. It means that he misinterprets the Torah deliberately. Anyway, another one who may for bris the buster. Another one is a person who transgresses the bris of the flesh, which means milah. So either that means he deliberately does not get a bris milah, or there are some explanations, some discussion about whether it can also include the concept of moshech bar losai, where the Gemara mentions in Yevamos in particular, where a person has the skin stretched out to make it appear as though he never had a bris. Historically, for example, it mentions, the Gemara there in Yevamos mentions that there were people doing that in the times of Roman persecution so that the Romans wouldn't realize that they had a bris. Earlier it mentions in the books of Chashmonaim that during the years before the Nes Chanukah, when the Mesiavnim were getting powerful in Eretz Yisrael, there would be people who did that because they wanted to appear when they play sports and whatever, they wanted to appear as though they're like the Goyim. So whether that's included in Mefer Bris Basar is a question. In any case, Rebbe says that other than those things, which touch the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit, other than that, even if a person does not do tshuva, Yom Kippur still helps him. Tosfos discusses actually that what it means is, in other words, that the Chachamim would say over here that ultimately, even for example, a person dies, and we're going to talk about later on. Nevertheless, if he does, the point is that tshuva is still a necessary part of it. That way he won't have yisurim la'achamisa. Whereas according to Rebbe, just the fact that for example Yom Kippur forgives him, or even that he dies, even without tshuva, it forgives him completely. There are a couple of sichas that we started that we touched on a little bit yesterday, where the Rebbe talks about the idea that according to Rebbe, the reason would be because on Itzume Shel Yom, on Yom Kippur itself, you have Yechidus HaBenefesh, the essential connection between the Yid and the Eibishter is revealed, and therefore even he doesn't do tshuva. So in other words, you have a level where he connects to Hashem, even higher than tshuva, and therefore according to Rebbe, that helps. With that said, the Rambam does pass in the halacha like the Chachamim, that it only helps with tshuva. Actually, the Rambam distinguishes, as far as the Sar La'azazel particularly, the Rambam distinguishes between kalos and chamuris. The Rambam says, if a person does not do tshuva, so the Rambam writes, if a person does not do tshuva, then the Sar La'azazel will help him for averis kalos, but not for averis chamuris. So kind of a halfway position between Rebbe and the Chachamim. There's another sikha in Chedek of Zion where the Rebbe talks about the idea that, in other words, there's two different things. A person does an Aveira, two things have happened. There's an Aveira has been done, that's a Chesa, and then you have, there's an effect on the person himself, which is called the Gavra. As we know, you often have the distinction in Torah literature beginning from the Brisker method, between the Gavra and the Chesa. So therefore, so within the Sar La'azazel itself, there's going to be a difference what kind of Aveda we're talking about, and Kalos versus Chamuris, and whether you need Tshuva, and whether the Sar La'azazel will help for it. The Tshuva of Yom Kippur is more something that affects the person, and therefore, and therefore, Rebbe is saying that Yom Kippur itself is going to be Mechaper. So it's one thing in both of those Sichas, and Chelech Galad, and the Chelech of Zion that Rebbe brings from the Rogatchover, it's one thing the Gemara is going to talk about later on, if the person is denying Yom Kippur itself. If, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about, let's say he eats on Yom Kippur itself, ein tatego nasa senego. Look, you can't have Yom Kippur, can't very well help him if he's going to disobey Yom Kippur itself. But other than that, Rebbe is saying that even without tshuva, a lot of Avedis will be cleaned up just by Yom Kippur. Anyway, so with those few, Purik Oil and Megalopanim, Batura, and Mefer Brisposa, Rebbe says, Shim also Truva Yom Kippur Mechaper. So for those, if he does Truva Yom Kippur, will be Mechaper for him. Vim Lav Ein Yom Kippur Mechaper. If not, then not. Whereas according to the Chachamim, all mitzvahs a person has to do Truva for in order for Yom Kippur to help him. So now, when our Mishnah says that the Sur LaZazel is Mechaper, and it lists those of Kalos, lighter Averis, which is to say, a person failed to do a mitzvah Saseh, so that would be according to Rebbe, who says that even without Tshuva, the Sur LaZazel will help him for that, whereas according to the Chachamim, it's not going to help him. According to the Chachamim, you don't need the Sur LaZazel for it. If he doesn't do Tshuva, it's not going to help him. And if he does Tshuva, then if he does Tshuva, then he doesn't need it because Hashem will forgive him right away. Okay. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe hold that those three mitzvahs are the exception? So the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says like this, Kidvar Hashem Bozaves Mitzvase Hefar, the Pasuk says, the context is a person is worshipping Avodah Zarah, but it also refers to that he does various other Averis deliberately. So the Pasuk says, Kidvar Hashem Boza, he mocked the word of Hashem, Ves Mitzvase Hefar, and he violated Hashem's mitzvah, he Koris Tikoris, and Nefesh Ahi, that soul will be cut off, Avoy Nava, its Avera is in it. So now the Gemara is going to dash in this Pasuk phrase by phrase. When it says he mocks the word of Hashem, that refers to when he throws off the yoke of Yiddishkeit, we're there for. So now you have the Dvar Hashem, the very first Dibra that Hashem says, Anoichi Hashem Alekecha, and that's not only, first of all, the Dvar in the singular, because it's the first one, but Rashi also points out, it's one of the only two that we heard directly from Hashem, as we learned a couple of weeks back at the end of Makkos, Anoichi and Lo Yilecha, we heard directly from Hashem, all the other ones we heard from Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, so uniquely then, that mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Alekecha and La'yilacha are Dvar Hashem more than any other mitzvah. Obviously, every mitzvah is Dvar Hashem, but in other words, we have reason to call that one Dvar. So that includes protocol or megalopanim b'Torah. It also includes the person who's mocking the Torah, because after all, the pasuk says it in terms of bizoyan, and he's boizer, he's mocking the words of Torah, like we said, like Menashe and Melech Yehuda did. That's mitzvosei hefar. When the pasuk continues that he has abrogated, he's transgressed the mitzvah of Hashem, zamefer bris v'basa, that refers to the person who transgresses the bris of the flesh. It's called mitzvosei because it actually says he mitzvah yichidus. It's a unique mitzvah. It's a single mitzvah. Meaning, in other words, when it was given to Avraham Avinu, that was the first and only mitzvah that he was given personally. So therefore, it can be called mitzvosei in the singular. There's a few different other explanations that we show him give where we see that the word mitzvosei refers to bris milah. But in any case, the point is that so therefore mitzvosei hefar refers to being made for bris vosser, which again can mean failing to get a bris, or it can mean stretching out the skin, as the case may be, according to the different opinions. Anyway, there's where Rebbe gets the three that he said, and the pasuk continues, Tikoris, Tikoris, he will surely be cut off. So that means, why the double expression? So elsewhere, the Gemara, by the way, learns that from Ikaris to Ikaris, we learned in Sanhedrin that we had a Machloikas Tanoim, whether from there we learn that there's an Olam Hazeh and an Olam Habah, and he gets cut off in both, or whether there's a different meaning, whether Dibur Torah to Koloshim Ne'odim or whatever. So Rebbe says another meaning of the double expression, Ikaris to Ikaris, Ikaris Lifnei Yom Kippurim, Tikaris Acha Yom Kippurim. So whether before or after Yom Kippur, either way he's getting Ikaris. Now, Yochol Afilo also Tshuva, continues the Braisa, you would think that would apply even if he did do Tshuva. No, Tamad Lema Avoy Nava, because the pasuk continues, its sin is in it. Loya Marti Ela Bizman Shavoy Nava, so it only applies when the person's sin is still with him, namely that he didn't do Tshuva. So now, therefore, the pasuk is telling us that even after Yom Kippur, these three, if he hasn't done Tshuva, then Yom Kippur hasn't helped him and he's not forgiven for those. Implying, though, that according to everything else, then Yom Kippur will help for him. If it's not in those three categories, then therefore Yom Kippur itself will forgive him. So that's Rebbe's position, again, with the idea being that Yom Kippur, you have the atzmos of the Yid connected with Hashem, is revealed then, and therefore Rebbe says that will help for most of us. All right, Rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer back to that? they say no, the double expression, ikaris tikaris, means ikaris v'olam hazeh tikaris v'olam haba. Like we said before, that the double expression means an olam hazeh and an olam haba. Avodah zarah, and when the pasuk says his sin is in it, means shem also tshuva umes misim amaretz. Means if he did tshuva and then he died, then he's still not, until he died, he's not completely forgiven for his averus. First of all, they say there's no difference between those three and any others. They're saying the fact that the pasuk mentions those three is not mentioning in connection with Yom Kippur. It means in general that a person dies having done one of these averus, then even his death is not going to clean him up. As Tosfos says, he's still going to need yisurim in Gehenim unless he did tshuva. And the same thing, because avoy nova means shem also tshuva omes misim amarekas, that his death cleans him up, and now he doesn't need to go to Gehenim. But in other words, the Chacham say nothing to do with Yom Kippur or not. So they disagree with Rebbe's position that Yom Kippur itself should be mechaper. Okay. So far we're saying no, that our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe, and therefore that explains why our Mishnah mentioned Averis Talus and mentioning the Sur Lazazel helping for them, because again, according to Rebbe, if a person was over on an Averis Talus, even though he failed to do Tshuva, then nevertheless the Sur Lazazel and Yom Kippur itself will help him and it'll be clean, yeah. Well, the Gemara says, how could you say that our Mishnah goes like Rebbe? Muhammad is safer of Yehudahi, Reishanami of Yehudahi, or not, Muhammad is safer of Yehudahi, Reishanami of Yehudahi. Since the safer of our Mishnah continues like Rabbi Yehuda, then the Reisha is also going to have to be like Rabbi Yehuda. The Katani Sefer, namely, the Mishnah continues. Echad Yisrael, ve'echad Kohenim, ve'echad. It's interesting, by the way. Rashi uses the expression l'kamon b'hai pirka later on in this perek, because Rashi apparently had in his Kisveyad had the Mishnayos spread throughout the perek as you usually have them in most perekim and shas. Here we had them all jammed together at the beginning of the perek by the copyists and later by the printers. But we see also this, by the way, a few places in this perek where Tosfos also are placed out of order. Same thing. You have sometimes where you have different Kisveyad would put all the Mishnayos together or spread them apart, and then when the printers came and printed the Gemaras, then they use one Ksavyad, sometimes another, and therefore they have, sometimes we have them all jammed together at the beginning of the perek and sometimes not. Anyway, our Mishnah had continued, the long Mishnah at the beginning, which was actually all the Mishnayos in the entire Masechta. So we had, the Mishnah had continued after describing what the Surah Mishtaleach, the Surah Lazazel accomplishes. Then it continued, Echad Yisraelim ve'echad Kohenim ve'echad Kohen Mashuach. That the Surah Lazazel is effective for Yisraelim and Kohenim, and even the Kohen Mashuach, the Kohen Gadol himself. And then it goes on to say that you have also the power of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and that deals with certain other things. That deals with Tumas Mitzvah Shekodshav as far as Kohenim. Anyway, the point is that since that part is according to the Yehuda, because the Mishnah had said the Katani Sefer, Echad Yisrael ve'Echad Kohenim ve'Echad Kohen Mashuach, and they all are forgiven with the Sur Lazazel, Oman Israel Hai Svara Rabbi Yehuda, who is it that holds that way as Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to talk about on Omer Beis? So therefore, Mikval Dereisha Rabbi Yehuda, that means the line before that must also be according to Rabbi Yehuda. So when it says, Al Shar Averis, Akalas Vachamuris, etc., how could that be according to Rebbe? It would have to be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Well, the Gemara says so fine. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, Sovel like Rabbi Yehuda. Fine, the Mishnah could be like Rebbe, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this regard, and that the Kohenim are also covered by the Surah Meshtaleach, as opposed to in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon had said that no, the Surah Meshtaleach doesn't cover the Kohenim at all. For that, you have the power of Kohen Gadol. So fine, so the Mishnah is according to Rebbe, and therefore it mentions Kalos, because again, according to Rebbe, a person did an Avera Kala. So even if he doesn't do tshuva and he doesn't get forgiven during the year, nevertheless he'll be forgiven on Yom Kippur. But then Rebbe in turn holds like Rebbe Yehuda as far as that the Kohenim are also covered by the Sur Lazazel and not just the Yisraelim. Well, Amalei Abaya. So Rabbi Yosef is saying that's the answer, that Rebbe, that is the Mishnah is like Rebbe, and he holds like Rebbe Yehuda in that regard. So Amalei Abaya. So Abaya asks, what do you mean with that statement? Davka ka'omar ma Rebbe Sovelak Rebbe Yehuda. Are you saying when you're saying Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, are you choosing your words carefully to imply Avo Rebbe Yehuda like Sovelak Rebbe? Are you implying that the reverse is not true? Rebbe Yehuda does not hold like Rebbe that Yom Kippur should be mechaper if a person did not do tshuva. So is that what you mean? So Rebbe would hold like Rebbe Yehuda as far as the scope of the Sarla Zazel, as far as who it helps, Yisraelim or also Kohenim. But Rebbe again has his unique Svara that says that Yom Kippur alone would forgive a person even without Tshuva. And you're implying, Rebbe Yosef, that Rebbe Yehuda would not agree with that concept, and he would say that a person has to do Tshuva in order to be forgiven on Yom Kippur for any Averis. Or maybe midi Rebbe savalak Rebbe Yehuda after Rebbe Yehuda savalak nami kerebi. Maybe Rebbe Yosef, you're saying that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Yehuda about the Sar Lazazel. Maybe in turn you're implying that Rebbe Yehuda also agrees with Rebbe as far as that a person can be forgiven on Yom Kippur even without Tshuva. And in that case, why would you be saying Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, or Miu, Urchud Milsakatani, even maybe you, Rebbe Yosef, are just using the regular kind of expression that you would use, Derecheres, Tiflamein, but the Talmud, Savalek Rabbi, to say that the Talmud, Rebbe, who's from the next generation after Rebbe Yehuda, agrees with his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda. So, what did you mean by that, Rebbe Yosef? Do you mean that Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda both agree on both points, on who the Sar Lazazel helps? Yisraelim versus Kohenim, and who it helps did tshuva or didn't do tshuva, or even didn't do tshuva, or do you mean that only Rebbe agrees with that both of them agree on the same point as far as Yisraelim versus Kohenim, but they still disagree as far as did tshuva or didn't do tshuva? Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers him, Ein, Dafka Kamina, yes, I did choose my words carefully to imply that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda as far as the Sar, but not vice versa. Rebbe Yehuda does not hold like Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda would hold like the rest of the Chachamim that a person does need to do Tshuva to be forgiven on Yom Kippur. I would say exactly that. Rebbe sova like Rebbe Yehuda, avo Rebbe Yehuda lo sova like Rebbe. And how do I know that? Says Rebbe Yosef. The Tanya, because we learn a Braisa in Sifra. And Sifra is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra that goes through the Psukim and shows how we douse in the details of the mitzvahs from the Psukim. And as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines, Sam Sifra, Rabbi Yehuda, the same way as we have that in the Sam Mishneh Ezra Meir, the same way as Sam Sifra is appointed Rabbi Yehuda. And the Braisa says, the Tanya, you would think that Yom Kippur would forgive a person whether he's done tshuva or not. The dinhu, and you would have reason, and so first you would have a logical reason to say why not. Because you would draw an analogy, here you have different things that the Torah gives a person for kapara. You have a chatas and an osham, and then you have Yom Kippur. So we would do by a mamatzinu, we would learn that Yom Kippur is going to help only if he did tshuva. Ma chatas v'osham en mechapin ela al hashavim, a chatas or an osham, a mechapin only if the person did tshuva. Rashi brings the respective psukim that talk about a chatas or an osham, talking about a korban olav yored, which is a type of chatas, or a few psukim later an osham. By both of them it says visvadu, that they visvado or visvadu, that they need to say vidui. So a person can't just bring a chatas or an osham and be forgiven. He has to do vidui and do tshuva. There's, by the way, a famous vort, I think, from the Chozim Lublin that talks about that you have to consider the whole rigmarole involved in bringing a korban. To begin with, when the person first does the Aveda, he's going to have to go to his local animal dealer and buy the animal, and probably the guy's going to be curious and why you're buying it for, and he's going to have to tell him what he did wrong, and then later on he comes to Yerushalayim, he has to go to the Beis Din Shel Kohanim, and he has to go from one place to another. He has to have the animal checked for mumim, he has to go to the Kohanim and tell him what he did wrong, so they can explain, so they can tell him whether, in fact, he is chayiv in a korban, because after all, you have a lot of different rules, what he needs, what the situation is to be chayiv in a korban, etc., and each time, like, they talk to him, and they give him musar and whatever, so he really is motivated to do tshuva. By the time he gets through the whole thing, he's been motivated many times to be embarrassed of what he did, and to be doing tshuva.
So what happened, the embarrassment is the kapara itself?
So the embarrassment itself is part of the kapara, yeah. Anyway.
The dealer was located in the Beis HaMikdash?
No, not well. A person could. A person could come to Yerushalayim and buy animals there. They had many, many animal dealers in Yerushalayim.
So bring them from there to here.
He could do either way. I guess if he lived near Yerushalayim, he might well bring an animal from where he lived. But if he lives far away, yeah.
Well, he's walking in front of everybody with the animal.
Also true. Yeah, if he's walking in front of everybody with the animal, yeah, indeed. Anyway, so the point is, in other words, say the Chachamim, by Hataser and Osham, says the Braisa, by Hataser and Osham, the Pasuk clearly says that a person has to do Tshuva in order for the Hataser and Osham to work. So you would say the same thing, Afya Mekapurim, and Mechapwe, El Al Ashavim. So from Binyan Av, from a Mamotzinu, we would say Yom Kippur is the same thing. But the Braisa continues, that's not really a proof. Malach Hatas for Osham, Shein Mechapin, Al Amazin Keshoigim. Because the fact is, a chatas and an osham are only brought for a shogig, they're not brought for a mezid. You have the rare examples Rashi brings, there are a few examples of an osham that come for something that's mezid. Rashi mentions there are three examples. Asham shifcha harufa is brought whether the person was shogig or mezid. The osham of a nozir who became tome, it doesn't matter how he became tome, whether the shogig or the mezid, and the four examples, and shavuos hapikadon and shavuos ha'edus, which we're going to be dealing with those shavuos later in our masechta. So those a person brings a korban for if the shavuos was false, even if it was the mezid. But fine. But other than those, basically a person brings a chatas or a person brings the other kinds of ashamas, it has to be where it was shogig, not for mezid. So Tosfos actually points out, so why, Taka, don't we say, once we see that you have those four examples, where it's Mechapa for Amazin, why don't we say that we can draw, we can make a Mamasinu from them and say that other Korbanos should be Mechapa for Amazin as well? Tosfos points out, these things are not Chayvik Krisis or Mrs. Bastin. So therefore, and after all, a regular Chatos is brought for something that would be Chayv Karis. So therefore, so you can't say that a regular Chatos we should be able to learn from this should be able to be Mechapa for his Amazin. So the fact is, most korbanos are mechaper for when he's shogeg. So continues the Braisa, Tomer Yom Kippurim shemechaper al amezid k'shogeg. Maybe you can't draw an analogy from that to Yom Kippur because Yom Kippur is special; it's mechaper even for a person who's amezid. And therefore, you would say, Oyel mechaper al amezid k'shogeg. So Tomer Yom Kippurim shemechaper al amezid k'shogeg, where it forgives a person even if he's mezid just as much as if he was shogeg, as long as he did tshuva, as the Chachamim are saying. So therefore, Horil Mechapar al Amezid Keshogig, since Yom Kippur is Mechapar, even for Mezid, unlike a Korban, maybe Yechapar al Hashavim, al Sheinim Shavim, maybe it can even be effective to be Mechapar even for those who did not do tshuva. And here also Tosfos discusses how this Braisa knows that Yom Kippur is Mechapar for Mezid. Maybe Taka, we should say, we learn from Chatas and Osham that it's not. So one point is, because the Pasuk says Yom Kippurim Hu, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, it means that Yom Kippur is special, and Fakert, we had before, as far as Tumas Mephdesh Bekodshav, we said there's a Korban, one of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, the Sur HaNasi Befnim, is Mechapa, even for Mezid, as we said before, because Pishayim L'chol HaTosam, so Adarabba, we have reason to say from that Yom Kippur itself is Mechapa for the Mezid as well. In any case, the point is, so the Braisa says, so on the one hand, you could have reason to say that Yom Kippur is Mechaper only for Shgogos, just like a Chata, to say that it should be Mechaper whether they did, only if they did Tshuva, just like a Chatas and Asham. On the other hand, again, Yom Kippur is Mechaper even for Mezid, where Chatas and most Ashamas are not, so therefore, say so you don't know one way or the other. Talmud Loima, that is why the Pasuk says, but also v'chodesh hazeh, and the word ach, cholak, means to make a division. So in other words, it divides and separates between whether somebody did tshuva or not. So therefore, so we learn from that that Yom Kippur is not going to always forgive a person only if he did tshuva. So that's the Braisa. Now, Stam Sifra Mani, now who, just like the Stam Sifra, is, according to who, Rabbi Yehuda, V'kama Shavim Ein Loi Shavim Loi. And we see that it's saying only if he did Shavah, then Yom Kippur helps him, and otherwise not. Well, there you go then, Rabbi Yosef says. So there's my proof that Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with Rebbe as far as that should help somebody who did not do Shavah. Rebbe had said only by those big three that we said before, Megalapon and Batura and the rest of them, then Yom Kippur doesn't help unless he did Shavah. The Chachamim, we said, disagree. Well, Rabbi Yehuda, we see from this Braisa, clearly holds, like the Chachamim, that Yom Kippur in general is going to help him for any Averis only if he did Tshuva. All right, so the Gemara says, V'romi stam sifra, stam sifra. The problem with that is, though, that we have then a contradiction between two stam sifras. We just brought one that was saying was according to Rabbi Yehuda, but there's a different statement in the sifra that says that it would actually work even if he didn't do tshuva. The Tanya, we have another braisa in the sifra, You would think Yom Kippur would help a person and forgive his averus only if he'd fasted on it, or kroy mikra kodesh, and called it mikra kodesh, which means to say the brachas on it, to say makadosh yisrael v'yom kippurim. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos objects that the whole nusach of brachas is only drabanan. How can the braisa over here be learning something about the nusach of brachas from a posik? So rather, Tosfos says, in other words, that kroy mikra kodesh means that he recognizes that Beis Din made this a holy day by making Rosh Hashanah 10 days ago, then now they made this day Yom Kippur, and he stops doing melacha, and so ain't a kroy mikra kodesh, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, which the braisa is going to go on to say, meaning, in other words, let's say you could have a person, he doesn't do malacha on Yom Kippur, not because it's a holy day, but because he's lazy and doesn't feel like doing malacha that day. So if a person fasted with kroy mikra kodesh and called it mikra kodesh by saying the bracha, as Rashi says, or by abstaining from work because it's Yom Kippur, like Tosfos says, so then we would say that v'loy also by malacha, and he did not in fact do malacha on it. But lojis anaboy v'loy kroy mikra kodesh. How do we know, continues this Braisa and Sifra, that even if he did not fast on Yom Kippur, and even if he did not call it Mikra Kodesh, so he didn't say the Brachas, or he abstained from work, but not because it's Yom Kippur, but just because he was too lazy to do work, but also by Malacha, or he actually did Malacha on it, Minayin, how do we know that Yom Kippur helps him? Talmud Lema, therefore the Pasuk says, Yom Kippurim Hu, the Pasuk says, it is Yom Kippur, implying Mikol Mokum, no matter what, whether he acted, whether he treated it like Yom Kippur, was supposed to be treated, or whether or not, either way, Yom Kippur itself helps him, and he's forgiven for his averus. So the point is, now, this is also a Stam Sifra, and we said before, Stam Sifra is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and here we're saying that it doesn't matter whether he did Shuvah or not, either way, the Braisa is saying that it does help him. Tosfos actually wonders, how do you know? Maybe it means he did tshuva. Maybe the Braisa still holds that he needs to do tshuva, but it just doesn't say. Some Rishonim give a couple of answers. The Ramban gives an answer that since the Braisa is learning from the words Yom Kippurim Hu, so it implies that in other words, even if he violated Yom Kippur itself, Yom Kippurim Hu, it itself is Yom Kippur, and nevertheless he was violating it. Nevertheless, the Braisa seems to be implying that he would that it would be forgiven to him. And also the Ramban gives another answer that listen, the Gemara at this point assumes if Yom Kippur helps only with Tshuva, it's no different than a chatas or an asham. And a chatas or an asham, the tshuva is not enough. So you need also the korban. So the same way over here, if the braisa is saying Yom Kippur is mechaper, even if he doesn't believe in it. Now, in other words, consider, says the Ramban. Suppose a person were to bring a chatas or an asham and say, well, I'm bringing this because I have to, but I don't really believe that it has the ability to affect a kapara for me. Is it going to? No. Well, by the same logic, then, if a person is violating Yom Kippur, should Yom Kippur help him? On the face of it, not. And nevertheless, the Braisa is saying that it does. So therefore, that shows that even without sugar. So the Braisa seems to be saying that even without tshuva, then Yom Kippur helps. Now again, so you have a stam Sifra, which we said before is appointed of Yehuda, and we have two, and we have another one. One says the person has to do tshuva for Yom Kippur to help him, the other one not. How do we reconcile those? So the answer is Amar Abaye, like Kasha HaRebi, HaRebi Yehuda. Very well then, one of them is appointed Rebbe, the other one is appointed of Yehuda. Fine, we have, generally we say Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, but the same way as, for example, Stam Mishnah to Meir, and yet it's not always that a Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, we have exceptions. The same way, Abaye says over here, okay, so you have one of these braises is like Rabbi Yehuda, and the other one is not, the other one is like, the other one is like Rebbe. Rava gives a different answer. Both braises would actually be according to Rebbe, that Yom Kippur helps without Shuvah, because Moide Rebbe b'Chores de Yoima, because Rebbe will agree when it comes to Chores of the day itself. The first braisa that said that it's only going to help him only if he did Shuvah, that's talking about the Chores of Yom Kippur itself. So in other words, So in other words, a person violates Yom Kippur, that itself makes him chayiv karis. So now, if he eats on Yom Kippur, or does malocha on Yom Kippur, he's going to be chayiv karis for that alone. Now again, like we said before, ein kategor nasa saneger, so therefore Yom Kippur itself, if he's violating it, cannot prevent him from suffering the consequences for the karis of Yom Kippur itself. But meanwhile, you have other Avedas that he did, even if he didn't do so. So those, he has to do Tshuva in order for Yom Kippur to help him. But as far as the other Avedas, Rebbe will say that even if he didn't do Tshuva, then nevertheless, he's still going to be forgiven by Yom Kippur itself. So it comes out. So first of all, Rava is saying that neither Braisa would be according to Rabbi Yehuda, but Rava would say then that the difference is one Braisa that says that it's going to help him only if he did Tshuva is referring to when he violated Yom Kippur itself, and we're talking about the Kodesh for that, and the other one that says that forgives him, even if he didn't do Tshuva, is talking about for other Averis. And actually the Ritva explains according to that, Rava might say that yes, Rabbi Yehuda does agree with that at all. After all, Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So both Braises might actually work according to Rabbi Yehuda as well. Rabbi Yehuda might well agree with Rebbe. After all, in that case, that Yom Kippur helps in general, even a person didn't do Tshuva, with the exception of the Averis of Yom Kippur itself. So the Gemara says, the Eloi Temahoch. After all, if you're not going to say that, you have to wonder, Kodesh Yom Kippur, Rebbe Lesley, would Rebbe hold there's no Kodesh for violating Yom Kippur itself? The Pasuk clearly says there's Kodesh. If according to Rebbe, Yom Kippur itself is Mechaper, even if he didn't do Tshuva, then a person would have violated Yom Kippur, and he's automatically potter from Kodesh because Yom Kippur itself, because he's Tumah Shoyan. And obviously that's not so. So therefore, it has to be that according to Rebbe, there has to be the possibility of Kodesh of Yom Kippur. How would that be if he actually violated Yom Kippur itself? So it's logical to make that distinction between whether he violated Yom Kippur itself and his Chayiv Kodesh for that versus whether he's Chayiv Kodesh for other Avedas, where the other Avedas can be cleaned up even without Tshuva, according to Rebbe, whereas violating Yom Kippur itself is going to require him to get Kodesh unless he does Tshuva for that. Well, the Gemara says, why? That's not a proof. Alom aloi. Why not? Mashkachas l'kagenda ovid b'leil yomis. So you could have, for example, the person violated Yom Kippur at night, and then he died that same night, and now the pasuk says ki vayoyim hazeh yichaper aleichem, which means it's a daytime of Yom Kippur that's machaper. So very well then, so we don't have to say that Rebbe would draw a distinction between violating Yom Kippur and violating other things that are chayiv karis. Rebbe would say, you know what the case is where a person is chayiv karis for breaking Yom Kippur is if he broke it at night, and then he dies that same night, and therefore he never had the daytime of Yom Kippur to be machaper for him. So that's not such a question. So we have good reason to say that Rebbe can still hold there can be Kodes of Yom Kippur without having to draw a distinction between violating Yom Kippur and anything else. We can say any Aveda the person did is Chayiv Kodes. If he dies at night, if he dies during the night of Yom Kippur, means Hashem has not yet forgiven him for the Aveda because it's only the daytime of Yom Kippur that's Mechaper, but there's no distinction necessarily between violating Yom Kippur and any other Aveda. Ela Ema. Rather, let's say the question is as follows. Kodesh Yimama L'Rebbe Lesley. Does that mean that Rebbe would hold it's impossible for a person to be Chayiv Kodesh for violating the daytime of Yom Kippur? The fact is, but when it comes to fasting and to not doing malacha, the pasuk says be'etzim ayom hazeh, which means during the daytime. So, and then the pasuk says that if a person does those things then he's Chayiv Kodesh. So it has to be, according to Rebbe, that should be possible for a person to be Chayiv Kodes for violating the daytime of Yom Kippur as well. Well, how would that work if, according to Rebbe, we're saying that a person that Yom Kippur will cause a person to be forgiven even without doing Tshuva? So the Gemara still answers back, Alam Aloy. So in other words, the point is that would force us to show that there's a distinction between violating Yom Kippur and violating anything else. Where Rebbe would say violating Yom Kippur, a person is not going to be forgiven unless he does Tshuva. Therefore, if he eats or does Malacha on Yom Kippur, he's going to be Chayiv Kodesh, and Yom Kippur itself is not going to save him unless he does Tshuva. Whereas other Avedas, it doesn't matter. And that would explain how a person can get Kodesh by day on Yom Kippur. But the Gemara says, still, why not? You don't have to draw that distinction within Rebbe's opinion. You can say there's no difference between Yom Kippur and any other Averis. Mashkachasla, the ochel umtsa b'chanke. You could have, say, a person, for example, ate a piece of meat on Yom Kippur, and right away he choked on it. So there was no real time. There was no time after he ate. So he didn't leave for even a moment after he violated Yom Kippur. In other words, to say that Yom Kippur is Mechaper, you would have to say that he lives for some time after that, whereas here we're talking about that he died right there on the spot. Amachronim talk about an interesting point in that regard. Does that mean that a person is chayev, that a person is chayev for eating on Yom Kippur just for the fact that it went down his throat even before it reached his stomach? Or are we implying that it actually has to reach his stomach for it to be chayev kardes? We often say that food, that eating, is defined as hanos meyav, that his stomach had pleasure from it, and here we're talking about that it was still in his throat and then he choked. Rabbi Ozer discusses this, and various other achronim discuss it, the details of that, what that means. One possibility is, in fact, Hanas Mayav for this purpose could include his inside, which would include also his throat. The Osameach talks about this. He says, for example, that to be chayev for eating on Yom Kippur, it's enough that he had Hanas Groinoi, that he has his throat enjoyed the taste of it even before it gets into his stomach. And the Chassam Sofer says that it does actually have to go into his stomach. And as far as the proof from here, it doesn't mean literally, the Chassam Sofer says it doesn't literally mean that he choked while it was in his throat. It means he choked a moment later when it reached his stomach. So then it got into his esophagus, and then he choked right there and died. That would already be considered Hanas Meyav. Anyway, the point is, so that's one way of understanding then that Rebbe would say that a person could be chayev kardes for eating on Yom Kippur, where he died in the action of eating itself. Another possibility could be that he ate right before Shkia, till they have a show, there's no time for Yom Kippur to be mechaper on him. So therefore, that being the case then, we do not have to say, after all, that Rebbe would draw a distinction between violating Yom Kippur and violating any other mitzvah, that's chayev, any other avera, that's chayev kares. Either way, Rebbe might well say that even if he didn't do tshuva, Yom Kippur is mechaper for him, provided that there's time for Yom Kippur to be mechaper for him. But if he died in the action of eating on Yom Kippur, then he would still be chayev kares. Tosfos actually discusses a little bit. What about, for example, you could say, let's say it was after the Sur LaZazel was sent off. Nevertheless, Tosfos says that no, the Sur LaZazel actually would work retroactively itself. And besides that, again, you have Yom Kippur itself. All this time, we've been talking about Yom Kippur itself, not so much about the Sur LaZazel. Again, in terms of the Sikha from Chelet Chav Zayin that we talked about before, there's a difference between the Chetza of the Avera versus the effect on the Gavra, where the Chetza is cleaned up by the Sur LaZazel, and the effect on the Gavra is cleaned up by Yom Kippur. So therefore, so one possibility is even without the Sur LaZazel, we're talking about Yom Kippur itself forgiving him, and not even if it was after the Sur LaZazel was sent off, then nevertheless it would still help. Tosfos also discusses the point that maybe what it is the last moment of Yom Kippur is what's mechaper for the person. In other words, we would say that I believe that Amma mentioned something similar as well, but I don't remember for sure that basically a person is sort of in a state of suspense throughout Yom Kippur. Is he going to be forgiven or not? And then comes the last moments of Yom Kippur, and then he's forgiven, which is why we daven Neilah then. So they're Vachsvim L'chaim Tovim and all that. So therefore, so in other words, here the Gemara would be talking about, so you could have, in other words, so again, the person could. So like this, for example, the person ate right before Shkia, the Gemara is saying, and therefore there's no time for Yom Kippur to be mechaper for him because it was at that very time that the Tapora of Yom Kippur was supposed to be accomplished, and now we don't have that. As opposed to if he ate earlier in the day, then we could say Yom Kippur itself is mechaper for him at the end of it, even if he didn't do tshuva. So we have the different opinions over here about whether Yom Kippur is mechaper, whether he did tshuva or not. Again, like we said before, that Amman paskins that Yom Kippur helps only if he did tshuva. So that you don't have the distinction between the big three averis that Rebbe mentioned before and any others. All of them, a person has to do tshuva for Yom Kippur to be mechaper for him. And that Amman stresses this is why everybody does tshuva. This is why everybody is supposed to do tshuva on Yom Kippur. And for that reason, we have all the viduyim, all the alchets and all that, is to motivate a person to actually do tshuva on Yom Kippur. You do have the fact that Rebbe holds differently. Then you have the sichus where the Rebbe talks about the ideas that Rebbe is saying that the on Yom Kippur, because the chiddush of the nefesh is revealed, therefore there's no room for averus, and therefore they get automatically forgiven. Again, unless he's violating Yom Kippur itself, in which case then ein kategor nasa sanegor, and therefore that's different. The Gemara goes on. The Mishnah had said, Echad Yisrael v'Echad Koyinim v'Echad Koyin Mashuach. That the Mishnah had said, as far as the Sarla Zazel, it covers the Yisraelim and the Koyinim and the Koyin Mashuach, the Koyin Gadol. So the Gemara says, Hogufa Kasha. Now, so then the Mishnah goes on to say, what's the difference between Yisraelim and Koyinim? The difference is that the power of the Koyin Gadol on Yom Kippur is Machapra for the Koyinim for Tumas Mikdash Rekodshah. So the Gemara says, "How gufa kasha?" Well, the Mishnah seems to be contradicting itself. Katani echad Yisrael v'echad Koyinim v'echad Koyin Mashuach. First, the Mishnah is saying that the Sar La'Zazel covers everybody. All Jews are covered and forgiven for their averus by the Sar La'Mashalach. V'hodotani, and then the Brayse continues. The Mishnah continues. Ma ben Yisrael l'Koyinim l'Koyin Mashuach. What is the difference between the Yisraelim and the regular Koyinim and the Koyin Mashuach, implying that there is a difference? So, is there a difference or isn't there a difference? Rav Yehuda Hachikama. So Rav Yehuda explains this is what the Mishnah means. Echad Yisrael v'echad Koyinim v'echad Koyin Mashuach miskapen b'sar mashalach b'shar avedus. When it comes to other avedus outside of Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, then everybody, according to the Tana Kama of our Mishnah, which we're going to say soon is Rav Yehuda the Tana, so then the Sar Mashalach covers everybody for other avedus outside of Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav. Miskatim, the Sermon Shalach, the Shara Averis, the In Chiluk Beinehem. There is, in fact, no difference between them when it comes to the other Averis outside of Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav. Then everybody is covered by the Sermon Shalach, whether it's Yisrael or Koyin or Koyin Mashiach. Ben Yisrael or Koyin or Koyin Mashiach. So then the Mishnah is saying, in what is there the difference between Yisraelim and Koyinim and the Koyin Mashuach is as far as Tumas Mitzvah Shukadshav. Elashah, Pur, Machapra, Al Koyinim, Al Tumas Mitzvah Shukadshav, that when it comes to the Koyinim, their Tumas Mitzvah Shukadshav is covered not by the Sur and Nasir B'Fnim, like we said earlier in the Mishnah, but rather by the power whose blood is also brought the Fnim. V'chola. Umani Rav Yehudahi, namely then, our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, therefore, would be Rav Yehuda. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa. So we're going to darshan a posik as follows. The posik says, at the end of the Avodah of Yom Kippur, it says, V'chipperath mikdash ha-kodesh, he should atone for the mikdash, for the holy mikdash, v'as oyo moyed v'as ha-mezbeach yichapper, and he should atone for the oyo moyed and for the mezbeach, v'al ha-koyinim v'akal amakol yichapper, and he'll atone for the koyinim and for the rest of the people of the congregation. So now, Rav Yehuda darshans as follows, the Tanya. The chiperas mikdash hakodesh, when it says he should atone for the mikdash hakodesh, for the mikdash of the holy place, so that would be zelafnai velafnim. That refers to lefnai velafnim, the kodesh hakodashim, that you can have a case of tuma involving the kodesh hakodashim. Rashi describes that you can have an example where, for example, we're going to learn in the next parak, where a person became tomei inside the bis mikdash, then he's supposed to leave by the shortest possible route. He's supposed to leave the bis mikdash by the shortest possible route, and if he does not, then he's chayev for it. So now you can have an example. A person became Tommy right there. The Kohen Gadol became Tommy right there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And instead of leaving right away, instead he stayed a little longer. So then we're saying that the Kapara of the Kapara of Yom Kippur helps for that. That's according to Rashi. Tosfos discusses some other possibilities we can be talking about, that it means that it means that something went wrong during the sprinkling of the blood. Lefnai v'lefnim. So it would mean that he has to do those, and then the kapara is helping for that. The chiperas mikdash hakodesh means that part of the kapara is accomplished in mikdash hakodesh, namely in the kodesh hakodashim. As oyel moyed zehechol, when it continues, oyel moyed means the rest of the hechol, the kodesh where the menorah and the shulchan are. Mizbeach to mashmoy. The mizbeach means exactly what it sounds like. It means the mizbeach achitzen. So again, according to Rashi, we're talking about if the person became tomei in the heichel. Mizbeach, Rashi explains, means the mizbeach azohav would be, for example, that the person was tomei and he brought ketores on the mizbeach azohav when he's tomei. Again, according to Tosfos, what it means is, in other words, that there is part of the kapara that's accomplished on the mizbeach azohav. As we know, the blood of the par and the sor on Yom Kippur is sprinkled inside the kodesh hakodashim and in the kodesh and on the mizbeach azohav. Next, Yichaper el Azores. When the pasuk continues, he will atone, that refers to the Azores. So either the person became Tomei in the Azara, and or ran into the Azara when he's Tomei, and didn't leave, and then didn't, or you became Tomei in there and didn't leave as soon as possible, or that it means, in other words, that it means that the sprinkling that's being done in the Azara, because ultimately you have, he takes the blood and he pours the rest of it, he pours the shirayim on the mizbeach hachitzin. Tosfos points out, if we're going to say, like Tosfos' explanation, that the Braisa is coming to tell us about all those different sprinklings, why do we need a drasha for that? We have the Pasuk explicitly says all those sprinklings. So Tosfos explains the point is, in other words, that would tell us that not only a Kohen Mashuach, not only a Kohen Gadol, who was anointed with Shemana Mishka, can do this whole Avoda, so can a Kohen Merubah Begadim, a Kohen who was only assumed office by virtue of wearing the 8 Bikkei Kohanah, as took place after the Shemana Mishka was hidden away at the end of the first place of Mikdash, so there's the fact that he can also accomplish this kapara, you need this pasuk to tell us that. Anyway, continues the Braisa. So now, so far, so we talk about the different places where the kapara is done. Either according to Rashi, that all these places are potential places where the tumah might have taken place, or according to Tosfos, these are all the places where the actual sprinkling or applying of blood takes place. Now, the second half of the pasuk continues. Koyanim kamashman. When it says val koyanim val kalama kol yichaper, so koyanim means koyanim, that they're covered by the korbanos of Yom Kippur. Amakol elu Yisrael, and the word amakol refers to the Yisraelim. Yichaper elu alavim, and the word yichaper, where it says at the end of the pasuk extra val koyanim val kalama kol yichaper, that comes to include the levim. Now, therefore, so we see. So Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, what that pasuk is telling you is that since the pasuk is telling you that there's a certain kapara that covers the koyanim and the amakohol and the levim, all of them are made equal as far as one kapara, namely that all of them are covered by the Sarah Mashalach when it comes to other Averis. Meaning, it was Rashi explained, it's true that the beginning of the pasuk is talking about Tumas Mikdash Rekodjev, but since the pasuk then continues Yichaper and saying that all of them since the last Yichaper in the pasuk is saying Koinim Levim and Yisraelim are all equal, that can only be by Sarah and Ashalech, because again you have it's true there is a par Koin Gadol and that covers the Koinim. We see the Koin Gadol does Vidri on it for the Koinim only, so we can't say that the par is equal for everybody. So therefore, it has to be the Sarah Mashalach is what's equal for everybody. Dibur Rabbi Yehuda, that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns. So that brings out the point that therefore that when the Mishnah had said so Rabbi Yehuda the Amora is explaining that what the Mishnah is saying is there is an area in which the Kohen and Levim and Israelim and the Kohen Mashuach are all equal, namely as far as the Sura Mashalach, the Sura Lazazel. But then you have a different area in which they're different, namely as far as Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav, where the Israelim and everybody else are covered by the Sur Anas Bifnim, and the Kohenim are going to be covered by the Pyre. So Tosfos points out, the Gemara is going to mention soon that since by the Basar Anasi Bifnim, there you have a pasuk that mentions Asher La'om, implying not the Koyanim, but by the Sura Mashalech, you have no such thing. Rav Shimon Omer, now we said in the Mishnah, Rav Shimon says differently, and in the Braisa, Rav Shimon spells out what he holds. He says, Kishem Shadam Sur Anasi Bifnim, Mechapra Yisrael, Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav, just as the blood of the Sur Anasi Bifnim alone is mechaper for Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav for Yisraelim, and there's no vidui, because Rashi points out there's no vidui on the Sur LaShem. There's two viduim on the Par and one on the Sur LaZozel. There's none on the Sur LaShem. So just like the blood of the Sur Anas Bifnim is mechaper for Yisraelim for Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav, tak, the same way, Rabbi Shimon says, Damapur, mechaper al HaKoyanim al Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav, the same way the blood of the Par alone, not the vidui of it, is helping for the Koyanim for Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav. Ochshem should be Duyah Shal Sur HaMashalech Mechaper Yisrael B'Shar Averis. And just as the vidui of the Kohen Gadol on the Sur HaMashalech helps the Yisraelim for other Averis, because the pasuk says, Eskol HaMenoisem, Eskol Pishem, Lechol HaToisem, so it covers all Averis, not just Tumas Mekdesh Vekodshav. So the same way, Kach Vidui Shal Par Mechaper Al HaKoyanim B'Shar Averis. So the same way, the vidui on the Par is going to be Mechaper for the Koyanim for other Averis. And now, on the other hand, in other words, we said in the Mishnah that Reb Shimon would say that the Koyanim are not covered by the Sura Nasa Bifnim at all. They're not covered by the vidui of it, because there is no vidui, and they're not covered by the blood, because instead they're covered by the blood of the Pyre. So Reb Shimon is saying that there is no one single thing that's mechaper for everybody. The Sfarad HaMashaleach, he says, is only for the Yisraelim, not for the Kohanim. The Kohanim themselves is going to be the vidri of the pyre. Well, the question is, Reb Shimon, Havade Hushvu, the question is, we just said before, you have a pasuk v'alkal v'alakohanim, v'alkal amakol yechaper, implying that there's one single kapara for everybody. So what is Reb Shimon going to do with that? According to him, there is no one single kapara for everybody. And the answer is none. My hushud ne kapara ninu. Fine, Reb Shimon is going to say the equation, and the pasuk just means that all of them are able to have kapara. There is some kind of kapara. Hashem has arranged some kind of korban for each group. Mihu kochad v'chad mechaper b'nanatre, but each one is going to be covered and being a scapper with a different korban or with a different animal in the case of the Sarah Lazazel. So Reb Shimon does not have to hold that there's one single korban that covers all of them. So according to Reb Shimon, in fact, you have the Yisraelim are covered by the two Seirim, the one Bifnim for Tumas Mechtesh for Kodshav, even Memezid, and the Sarah Lazazel covers everything else. That's according to Reb Shimon. Meanwhile, according to him, the Kohanim are covered respectively by the vidui of the par and the blood of the par. Whereas according to Reb Yehuda, we're saying the Sur Lazozo covers everybody. For other Averis, and Tumas Nefesh Kodshav, there you have a difference that the Sur Hanas Bifnim covers the Yisraelim and the par, and then the par covers the Kohanim. Okay. The Gemara says, my time is Reb Shimon. Why does Reb Shimon say that the Kohanim should not be covered by the Sur Lazozo? So the question is, we just explained Reb Shimon's opinion, we just explained how he derives it from the Pesukim. So there's a Tosfos elsewhere in Yuma that explains that the fact is, you have there's two, on the par itself, you have two viduyim, one for the Kohen Gadol and his family, and one for all the Kohenim. So the question is, according to him, why do you need all that? According to him, you have therefore no extra vidui, because you have one for the Kohen Gadol and his family, and the other for the Kohenim. So where is he getting that those viduyim are going to be covering the Kohenim completely, to the extent where the Sura Lazozel is not needed for the Kohenim? So where is Reb Shimon getting that from? So the answer is dichtid, because the pasuk is v'lokach shnei aseirim. The pasuk says you should take the two goats and make the girdle on them. So by saying two goats, ikash sura mashtaleach v'sura nasa b'fnim. Therefore, says Reb Shimon, you have a hekish between the two seirim, between the one lashem, which is the sura nasa b'fnim, and the one lazazel. So therefore, Reb Shimon says, from that hekesh we learn, ma sura nasa b'fnim, enim achapa ala koyim al tumas mitzvah kodjav, and the one, the sura nasa b'fnim, the sura l'ashem, is definitely not covering the koyim for tumas mitzvah kodjav, and we know that, dichtib dey asher la'om, because the pasuk clearly says about that korban that it is for the people, implying for the people at large, not for the koyim. So therefore, says Reb Shimon, the Hekesh is going to teach us that the Sura Mishtalech is not helping the Kohenim for other Averis. So that's where he gets, therefore, that it has to be that the Sura Mishtalech, that neither Sura helps the Kohenim at all, the one Bifnim helps for Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav, but only for Yisraelim and Levim, and the one Lazozel helps for all other Averis, but only for Yisraelim and Levim, and the Kohenim are going to have to be covered by the pile. So that's the point of Reb Shimon. Reb Yehuda, what does Reb Yehuda answer to that? What does he do with that hekesh? He answers, Amalach lachochi itkush. The reason for the hekesh teaches us something else. She was shoving a matter of a claim over domim udasa. That word shnei asirim teaches us that ideally the two goats should be equal in appearance, in height, and in the price you paid for them. The Mishnah mentions that in Yuma. So that's the point of saying shnei asirim, is that they should be as equal as possible, and then one goes lashem and one goes lazazel. But not to teach us that the kapara of the two of them should be anything similar. Reb Shimon apparently is not bothered by that. He apparently says that you could learn both things from that same thing, that they should be equal, but also that they accomplish the same kind of kapara. So the Gemara continues. Man tonu lahodu tonu rabbanon. What about the following braisa? That says, what about the following braisa? Let's see which opinion does this follow. the Tana Rabbanon, the pasuk says he should shech the goat of the chatas, which is for the people. This is the Sor Lashem. Now the words Asher La'om implies she'ena koinim. Miskaprim bo, the koinim are not getting their kapara through this sur. Over mem miskaprim, what do they get forgiven with? The parah shall Aaron with the bull that Aaron brings, the power of koin gadol. Now you would think maybe they're not covered by the power of Aaron either. Because the pasuk says Shaila Kvanema Asher Loi, because the pasuk says that the power is for him, and then so maybe it means that it's only for him and his family. May after inland kapara, maybe the Kohenim are not able to have a kapara at all. They're knocked out from the Sor Lashem because it says Asher La'am. They're knocked out from the power because it says Asher Loi. Since the pasuk is Yechaper, the pasuk that we quoted before, the Chippur is Mikdash Kodesh, and it says Vala Kohenim Vala Kala Machol Yechaper, Ala Kohenim, and that pasuk is referring to the Kohenim, Matzino Lahem Kapara. So therefore, we do find that after all, the Kohenim do have a Kapara. Bamehin Miskaprin. So what are they going to have their Kapara with? Mutav Shiskaper Kapara Shel Aaron. Better and more logical that they're going to be forgiven using the power of Aaron, Sharei Hutu Miklole Eitzel Beisai. Because when the pasuk says Asher Loi, the word Loi itself might imply only him. But then it says, the pasuk also says that it atones for him and for his family. So already we see, in other words, that the word Loi is being broadened to include his family. So therefore, once we have that the word Loi is not being taken so narrowly to mean only the Kohen Gadol, it does include his family as well, then we can broaden it still further to include the Kohenim. Whereas the Brisa continues, they're not going to be atoned with for the Sur Anasi Bifnim, for the Sur Lashem, it's a basic, because we don't find any exception. The Pasuk says on it, Asher La'om, and there's nothing to say that it gets broadened to anybody else. The elsewhere, the Gemara has the expression about it that the kapara of the power Kohen Gadol for the other Kohenim, the Gemara calls it mikufya. It's almost like there's kapara floating around over here, and you have once the power belongs to the Kohen Gadol, it's brought from his personal funds, but it's also the Hashem was mafkir it to a certain extent so that it can be mechaper on the Kohenim as well. So the Braisa says, the im nafshach loimar, and if you're going to find a reason to object and say that drosha is not valid, as the Gemara will explain later what that means, why we think it's not valid. So then, harehu oimar, then I can show you another pasuk that shows that the Kohenim are covered by the power of Kohen Gadol. The pasuk says, until him, base Aaron Baruch was Hashem, base Levi, base Alevi, Baruch was Hashem, Yireh Hashem, Baruch was Hashem. So we see from that the Kohenim are called base Aaron. So therefore, when the pasuk says by the power, v'chipa badu, v'ad basei, then basei will include not just the Kohen Gadol's immediate household, it will include all the Kohenim. So now that we brought this Braisa, Man Tana, so who is the Tana of this Braisa, which would imply that without the power they don't have kapara at all. So who would that be like? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously that can't be like Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda ha'amal l'koinim yashlan kapara b'sarim ha'shalach. So because after all, Rabbi Yehuda had said before that the koinim are going to be covered for all other averas by the sarim ha'shalach. So therefore, so this braisa that's saying that if it weren't for the power of Kohen Gadol, if the power of Kohen Gadol were not to be brought for some reason, then there would be no kapara for the koinim. So that braisa is clearly not like Rabbi Yehuda. So who the Braisa is like, so that will, so that, that, so then this is, Gemara continues, so Umani, so who is the Braisa like? So Rava Amar Rav Shimoni. So Rava says the Braisa would have to be like Rav Shimon. Dama Koinim Emlem Kapara B'Sarim HaShaleach. We just said that according to Rav Shimon, the Koinim are not covered by the Sarim HaShaleach. So yes, according to him, if there were no power, there would be no Kapara for the Koinim at all. The Sarim HaShaleach, they're excluded from because there's a Sherla'om. So if the power were not to atone for them, then they would have no Kapara. And therefore we have to say, so therefore, the Braisa is stressing that there has to be a source that the Kohenim are covered by the power of Kohen Gadol, and the reason is either because it says Asher Loi, and we broaden Asher Loi to include everybody, to include the other Kohenim, or because it's based on and Baruch Hos Hashem. Okay, so that's one answer. Abaya Amar Afilo Teimer Rabbi Yehuda. Abaya says you could even say the Braisa does go according to Rabbi Yehuda. Hachikama. What the Braisa means is when it says, if it weren't for the power of Kohen Gadol, how would the Kohenim have their kapara? It means, me'ata enam kapara, but Tumas Mikdash v'kodshav, would mean specifically as far as Tumas Mikdash v'kodshav, where Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the Sir Lashem does not cover the Kohenim for that, because it specifically says, Asher La'am. So therefore, so now they wouldn't have, you would think, they don't have kapara for Tumas Mikdash v'kodshav, true oimen, yechaper ala Kohenim, but since it says yechaper for the Kohenim, there has to be all of their Averis have to be covered by some korban, motzinish yeshlan kapara, v'shar Averis, thus we find that they have kapara for other Averis with the Sir, with the Sir Lazazel. And now the Braisa will be saying just as much as we find that they have kapara by other averus when it comes by using the Sir Lazazel, kach yeshlan kapara b'tumas nefesh v'kodshav. So now we would have to say they also there obviously has to be some kapara for them for tumas nefesh v'kodshav. V'mehem miskaprim. So what is going to cover them for their kapara? So now the Braisa is saying mutar shiyiskaprim v'pora shel Aaron. So then it's more logical they're going to be covered by the power of Aaron. Shanim hutim mikolay. So basically, because again, the word loy we see doesn't just mean the Kohen Gadol himself; it includes his household, and therefore it can already be broadened to mean the other Kohenim by iskaprim b'sara nasa b'fnim, not the sara nasa b'fnim, the sara l'Hashem. Shanim hutim mikolay, because the pasuk is asher la'om, and we find no exception. And then the Braisa had said, being Nashach Loima, if you want to say differently and you want to argue that that's not a valid proof, how do you even base Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem? So we see that the Torah calls, we see that the Pasuk calls the Kohenim base Aaron, and therefore when it says, then it'll include the Kohenim as well. So the point is, in other words, that yes, the Braisa can still work out, according to the Yehuda, because not talking about Averis in general, it's talking about Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, without the power Kohen Gadol, it is true that indeed you don't have, that indeed you wouldn't have Kapara for them. Why? Because Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, even according to the Yehuda, is not covered for them by the Surah Lashem, because the Pasuk specifically says, Asher La'om, excluding the Kohenim. Tosfos actually brings up the point that there's a different Gemara that discusses whether the Levim are included in Ha'am. So how are they going to be included one way or the other? So Tosfos kind of leaves the question open and wonders what the Kohenim are going to be covered by. So the Ritva answer is that no, it's true as Tosfos says, you do have a Gemara in Fulin that says the Levium maybe not in the category of Ha'om. Namely, the Gemara says over there about the mitzvah of Zeroy L'Chayayim V'Keva, that you have to give certain parts of an animal that was Shulin, that was Shechted, you have to give to the Kohenim, and the Gemara discusses over there, do Levium have to give that to the Kohenim? Are they considered part of Ha'om? And the Gemara says maybe not necessarily, and therefore Levia might be potter from it, but fine, the Ritva says that, listen, over here, the fact is, since it says Yechaper, so it comes to include the Levium as well. So the Braisa can work out according to the Yehuda as well. The only thing we need to deal with, which we'll take up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, is I guess we'll fill in one more line. Mayim nafshach loymar. So why the Braisa is saying, if you're going to argue, what is the potential argument that you might say, mayim nafshach loymar? What is this nafshach loymar? What is the potential argument that you might say that the proof from Loy, including his family, is not a valid proof, is b'chitema? You might argue, look, basically, the fact is, the Pasuk says, his household, so only his household would be included, not necessarily would include all the other Kohenim. In other words, Marashah says, that we could say that fine, it means the Kohen Gadol himself, and anybody who relies on him for their parnasa and eats by his table is covered. How would that include all the other Kohenim where they're not connected with him in that way? So the Braisa says, you're right, so it's not a solid proof, therefore we have Kulan Kurin Beisei, all the Kohenim can in fact be called Beisei, Shinem Beis Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem, Yir Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem. So ultimately we can say that all the Kohenim are considered Beisei, and therefore, that when it says the chibah badu of ad beisoy, that the power of Kohen Gadol in fact does cover the Kohenim as well, because like the Gemara says elsewhere, the Torah is mafkirit, that is mafkir that, and makes it available to all the other Kohenim, and all the other Kohenim are able to be neskaper mikufya with that kapara, that's so to speak floating around, and they're all able to be included under that umbrella, and the power of Kohen Gadol helps for them, according to the Yehuda only for Tumas Mefesh v'Kodshav, according to the Shimon for all other Averis.